that Christ went through for us. The Lord began to deal with me that it is more than just knowing what he did, but it's having an understanding why. And getting a revelation of what the cross really means to me and you. And what it means in our everyday life and our walk with God. By the help of the Holy Ghost today, we're going to attempt to do a little bit more teaching from a slightly different view of the cross. If the Lord will help us, we will walk this path for the next few weeks. Because I know that if you and I can truly understand the work that took place on Calvary's Hill, if we can understand exactly what happened there, that Calvary is the pivotal point from the beginning to the ending of all time, that everything that ever was and everything that ever will be points back to the moment that Christ gave his life for you and me. And the power that existed and the things that took place on that hill can change my life and yours forever. And how we deal with our own difficulties of life and how we handle the devil and the power of evil that's in this world. If we can learn to apply the cross to our lives, it will change our walk with Christ forever. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 1, a little bit of reading here. If you're elder and your knees are hurting, please feel comfortable in sitting down. But if you're able to stand, stand with us in the reading of the word. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Today, by the help of the Lord, we will not get off of verse 1. But we will hear and we will receive direction of how important it is that you and I understand the work of the cross. Whom hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Turn to the person next to you and ask them, do you believe the report? Now tell them, if you will believe the report, then God's arm will be revealed to you. And the arm is the cross. It's the might, it's the power, it's the force. He defeated death. He defeated disease. He defeated the devil. He defeated all power of hell. Hallelujah. It all happened at the cross. And you and I have that power in us and available to us. Let's put our Bibles down and clap our hands together unto the Lord. Let's give him praise. God, touch my mind and my heart. Use me today. Open us up to the Word of God is our prayer. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to start out today by telling you the Bible makes it plain that if the adversary would have known what was going to take place on Calvary's Hill, he would have done everything in his power not to send Jesus to the cross, but to prevent him from going. But no power in hell, heaven, or earth could stop the destined plan of God, predetermined from the beginning of time. For the Bible says he was slain from the foundations of the world. Before you and I ever took a breath, Christ had already made it up in his mind. God had already predetermined that the day would come he would give his life upon the cross. Why? To shed his blood, that you and I might be redeemed and receive power from heaven, that we might have power over all the power of the enemy. Tell your neighbor, the cross gives you power. I'm afraid that you and I walk through this world as redeemed men and women, as saints of the living God. We walk through this world all too often, having forgotten about the power of
the cross. And you and I attempt to deal with the adversary and deal with the flesh and deal with the problems of this world by using other facets and other means and other avenues. When if we would just learn what the cross did for us and what the work of Calvary did in our life, and if we would learn to invoke the blood and invoke the power of the cross, I'm telling you today, it would change our lives. It would change our perspectives, because the devil will cower down and death will flee and disease will hide. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Come on, clap your hands to Him. Now Isaiah starts out with the very major problem concerning the cross. He says, who will believe our report? The results of Calvary are going to be so incredible that when you try to explain to somebody else, it'll seem like a fairy tale. It'll seem like something impossible. Are you telling me that a man that died on a cross 2,000 years ago can remove my shame today? Can remove my pain today? Can remove my depression today? Can remove my condemnation today? I'm here to tell you, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, it can. And it will. Are you here to tell me that a work done 2,000 years ago can heal me of my disease, can deliver me of my dilemma, can set me free of my bondage? I'm here to tell you today, yes, it can. Who will believe the report? That's the question. Who will believe the report? Word of the Lord says, as Pastor Sapp had so mentioned, that Christ came into this world. John 1:10. Now, if you'll let me, I want to use scripture, a lot of scripture today. I want to try to set a path that we're going to be following. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. He was rejected of the world. But John goes on to say, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He was rejected by the Jews. He had come to this world to bring a report, but it seemed like nobody was going to receive it. John 12:37 says, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord being revealed? He walked amongst them. He touched their blind and their eyes were open. He touched the deaf and their ears could hear. He spoke to the grave and the dead came out of it. He touched the brow of the leper and they were cleansed of the disease. The blood disease broke through the crowd, touched the hem of His garment, and she was cleansed. The crippled jumped and leaped and praised God. Everywhere she went, His miraculous power, this report that He brought with Him, was being displayed, yet men rejected it. I'm here to tell you that there's something you must understand. Calvary does not get in your heart through your eyes. I want you to follow me a little bit. You cannot see enough of God. You cannot feel enough of God. You cannot be exposed to enough of God that it will place Calvary in your heart. Friend, if you're going to believe the report of God, you're going to have to determine in your own mind and in your own heart, and you're going to have to get up on your feet, and you're going to have to say, devil, you're a liar, and you're going to have to say, world, you're a liar. Jesus Christ loves me. He died for me. He shed his blood for me, and I'm going to receive it. Stay with me just for a moment here today. Romans chapter 10 in verse number 14. We ask the question, preacher, how can I believe the report of God? You see, you must understand that until you believe it, you cannot receive it. Until Calvary becomes something alive and vibrant in your life, you cannot access its power. You cannot access its redemption. You cannot access its deliverance. It must first become something that becomes a part of your heart, that you believe and you are thankful and grateful to a God who would come out of celestial heaven down to a terrestrial earth and robe himself in flesh and die on a cross and shed his blood for you. Somebody shout, I believe it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've made it up in my mind. We're going to hear about the cross. The cross is something that's mentioned every once in a while, but it's seldom preached. It's not a popular subject. It doesn't rise up the crowd. It doesn't bring the physical results that men like to see, but it'll change your heart. It'll change your life. And if I can preach it, then you will hear it. And if you will hear it, then faith will come. And when faith comes, we will believe the report. And if we become a church that truly begins to believe the report of Calvary. What is the report of Calvary? He bore our iniquities. What is the report of Calvary? By his stripes we are healed. What is the report of Calvary? I am set free from bondage. What is the report of Calvary? I can be born again, a new creature in Christ. Listen, if we become a church that truly begins to believe the report of the cross when they walk through them doors, I don't care what condition they walk in with. They can walk in a drug addict. They're walking out delivered. They can roll in here in a wheelchair. They're going to walk out on 2 feet. They can come in here with a broken marriage, but my God can heal it. Their children can be in prison, but my God can deliver. When we become a church that truly believes what the cross can do, we will begin to see things like we've never seen in all of our life. Clap your hands to the Lord for the glory of God.
You know, I think what's happened is that we preach faith, and we preach if you have enough faith, then the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. Old preachers can preach longer. Because y'all probably praying against that. Lord, I've only been going 20 minutes. Whew, feels like an hour. And we preach, you have enough faith, you can do all these things. Listen, I understand the concept of it. But here's what begins to happen. Is that we begin to have faith in our faith. And so when something doesn't happen, we say to ourselves, we didn't have enough. Because our faith has been misplaced. We put faith, then we end up putting faith in us. God does a few things and we begin to think and feel, well, maybe the Lord, you know, I got this special gift or whatever the cause may be, and you may have it. But you didn't do it. And we'll put faith in ourselves, and then when we mess up and we do something wrong, then we say, well, I'm not righteous enough, I'm not worthy, therefore God cannot use me. Your faith is misplaced. If we will take our faith and put it back where it belongs, woo! If I'll take the faith I put in myself, in my own life, my own righteousness, faith in my own faith, if I'll take it and bring it back to the feet of the cross, lay it down where the work began and where the power of healing is and the power of deliverance is. It needs to be by the work of the cross, by the power of the blood of Calvary. I loose you. It's not faith in me. It's not how much I have. It's the fact that 2,000 years ago, God did a work. And it's still alive today. And it's powerful. And it can do anything. Listen, the reason why the devil is able to bind us up and prevent us is because we have our minds on ourselves. Yeah. We go up to pray and we're battling in our mind everything that's right and everything that's wrong. And then we battle in our mind the will of God. Well, go figure that one out. It's not your place to figure out the will of God. It's your place to obey the word of God. He'll decide what's his will. Well, what if I pray and it doesn't happen? Well, it don't have nothing to do with you anyway. So why does that matter? It matters because you think it does have something to do with you. Our prayers would change completely if when we walked up to that person, the only thing in our mind would be Calvary. And begin to see the
drops of blood coming from his pierced side, and the crown of thorns on his head, and the stripes upon his back. And then you say, by your stripes be healed. Come on, somebody. It'll change us forever if we'll put our faith back where it belongs and get a hold of the cross. Somebody say, believe his report. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. It's the reason why we're gonna preach this. And we're going to deal with different aspects. Because if we can get the revelation of what it really means, that he bore my iniquities, huh? That he took on my sins, and that he was bruised, huh? He was bruised for my iniquities. He was bruised for me. And we can begin to get the revelation of what all of that means. It's going to change our life. And it's going to change our walk. Are you still with me? Yeah. All right, just stay with me. If I lose you, raise your hand. Hebrews 4:1. Watch this. Let us therefore fear. Everybody say fear. You see, what I'm trying to get us to get a hold of today is that getting a grip on what the cross is all about is not a simple thing. In fact, it is the most important thing of your walk with God. It's more important than the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's more important than the fruits of the Spirit. It's more important than anything that you will ever do, because the gifts flow from Calvary. And the fruits flow from Calvary. And everything that we want to be, and everything that we hope to be, and everything that we desire to be in Christ, it flows from Calvary. But Calvary is the very source we're leaving behind. Calvary's the last thing that we think about. Calvary's the last thing upon our heart and upon our spirit. We're too busy believing it's because it's of our great faith. We're too convinced it's because, well, we didn't sin today, I'm righteous. We're too high and mighty, maybe, and thinking of other facets of I walk with God and the precious, humble, humble experience of Calvary that really produced everything. It's left so far behind in our walk with God that God has said to this preacher, you need to tell my sheep what they've got to do. It's get back to Calvary. Somehow the Lord will help us over the next few weeks. We need to take a journey back up that hill and throw ourselves back down at his feet and understand that everything begins here and everything flows out of here. So let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Calvary is his rest. That any of you or us should seem to come short of it. So what do we fear? That we would come short of his rest, of the promise of entering into his rest. Look at verse 2, Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. You mean somebody can hear this message and not believe it? Why did it not profit them? not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn by my wrath, if they have entered into my rest, although the works were finished, from where? What work is he talking about? He was crucified from the foundation of the world. And God said, those that don't receive it, those that don't believe it, my wrath will be upon them. Listen, friend, the cross is not an option in our life. The cross, understanding the work of Calvary, it's not something that, well, maybe, maybe not. It must become the focus of our life. It is only the cross that will keep the wrath of God out of our lives. I cannot live good enough. How many of y'all know that's the truth? We cannot live good enough to keep the wrath of God. In fact, the only thing between me and a God of wrath, the Bible says, is the man Christ Jesus. Now, why do you think the Bible specifies the man Christ Jesus? Because it was the man who died on the cross. And the only thing that stands between me and a righteous, wrathful God that would destroy me, disintegrate me in an instant, is the blood of the cross. And when God sees me, come here, Brother Sam. Come here, Brother. Yeah, I'll stand right here. I'll stand right there. So you stand right there. When God sees me, this is how I come to God. Hey. Hey. What are you hiding behind? I'm hiding behind the blood. I'm hiding behind the blood. It's the only way I can talk to the Spirit is to get a hold of Calvary. You listen to this preacher. When you get the revelation of Calvary, it will change your prayer life. Your prayer life will never be the same, because every time you kneel down, you'll know I'm praying through the blood. I'm talking through the blood. I'm going through the blood. No wonder Paul said, let us enter boldly into the throne room of grace. Yeah. Okay. A couple more minutes. I'm not even going to get where I'm going. But God's talking to us. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Moreover, brethren, we're still dealing with those. He said, who will believe our report? The world rejected him. The Jews rejected him. Who will believe our report? Well, the only way they can even receive it is if it's preached to them. So God woke you up, got you out of bed, brought you to the house of God, because he wanted the cross preached to you to give you an opportunity to get it buried so deep in your heart that you'll never see God the same again. You'll never see your brother and sister the same again. Everything I look at through the cross. Let me tell you something. If the blood was removed from your eyes and you saw God
in all of his glory, you would die instantly. You would die of unbelievable fear. And you know why you would die? Because in all of his glory, all of your flesh would be revealed. The brighter he shines, the more ugly we become. That's why the closer we get to God, the more we realize how much we need him. But the only thing that even gives me the courage to even walk towards him is Calvary. Because I'm covered by the blood of Calvary. And because of Calvary, I was baptized in the name of Jesus. And my sins were washed away. And because of Calvary, I was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And because of Calvary, I'm called the Son of God. Put your hands together and give the Lord some praise. Somebody shout Calvary! Look at your neighbor and say, will you believe the report? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. Listen to Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, which you have received. Wherein you stand? You stand in what? You stand in this gospel. Look at his next words. By which you are also saved. If. By which we are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You mean when Paul the Apostle, when Jesus Christ grabbed Paul the Apostle by the nape of his neck and drug him out into the wilderness, and for 3 years he was with Paul the Apostle teaching and showing and instructing this man that would change his known world, that before he talked about miracles, before he talked about anything, before he revealed anything to Paul the Apostle, the first thing that Paul the Apostle received is that Calvary is real, and my God died on the cross and shed his blood for me. And Paul said, when I came to you, before I told you anything else, I told you about Calvary. And Paul the Apostle says, if you're going to stay saved, you better never forget about Calvary. If you forget about Calvary, you're going to be lost. We got to keep it in our heart. We got to get it in our spirit. We got to get it in our minds. Calvary needs to come back to being a forefront of our thoughts and not an afterthought or a cliche. That's what Calvary's become, a cliche. Thank God for Calvary. We don't mean nothing by it. It's just words. Like a lot of other words we say. And I'm pastoring right now, so for my guest, just hang in there. Calvary's not a cliche. Calvary's not a saying. Calvary's not something you do or say to pass time. Calvary needs to be the forefront of our walk with God. And somehow we'll get a hold of it. If God will help this preacher to somehow get this in your heart and get this in our minds, it'll change everything about this church. We'll never be the same. Our worship will be deeper. The power will be greater. The miracles will be without number. The deliverances will come in the droves, because it's not us and it's not our righteousness. It is the work of the cross. We need to start bringing that back into the foundation of our belief in Christ is the cross. If you don't receive the cross, you can't receive Christ. It's what he's all about. Somebody say, I will believe his report. Music, you can come. Tell your neighbor, if you will believe, tell them the arm of God will be revealed. You see, if I can get us to believe, you say, but Pastor, we believe in the cross. No, no, no. You're missing the point. I understand you believe that Christ died on the cross for you, or you wouldn't be sitting on these pews. I understand that you were filled with the Holy Ghost and the majority of you baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I understand that. And all of that was done because of the power of the cross. But I will also say this to you. Most of you received that experience and was baptized without the cross ever being mentioned. You were simply told the Holy Ghost is for you. And you believed it. You were shown and expressed in the Word of God that we need to be buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins. So you obeyed it. Both of those things came about because of the work of the cross. You received great transformations in your life because of the work of the cross. Now, if you want that power of the Holy Ghost to grow in your life, and if you want to understand the experience of having your sins remitted, then you have to go back to the cross where it all took place. And you have to start getting revelation. Because when we get revelation of the cross, I guess I'm going to have me a cross made. We got one somewhere, don't we? We got one in storage, Brother Mackey. Can we get that and bring that next week? All right, thank you. When you get that revelation of the cross, then you really start to understand the remission of your sins. And when Satan reaches into your past and grabs your yesterdays, Robert, and he tries to pull them into your present. Huh? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know why you believe that mess? You know why you receive that stuff, Gabby? Do you know why you let the devil torment you with your past? Because you never got a revelation of what the cross did. When you went down in that water. Because if you had a revelation of what Calvary really did when it remitted your sins, you would beat that devil to a pulp. How dare you drag up my path? How dare you bring up my yesterday? I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. It's called revelation. It's truly receiving and believing the report so that nothing can enter in and take that from you. I don't have time to start part two. So let's stand. Who will believe the report? Oh, I feel the power of God in this place.
I wonder if there's a man or a woman here today. A young man, a young lady, a dad, a mom, a husband, a wife, here today, every mind on God, you're here today, and oh, you're saying inside, I want to believe, I want to believe, I want to believe, I want to believe, I want to believe. I need to be delivered. I need to be set free. I need help. I need help. So we open up the altar, first of all, just for those that may want to come. And that way you'll be up front and you're saying, I want to come and believe the report of Calvary. I want to come and receive Calvary into my life. I want to come.
I want my life transformed from that power. Maybe you'll come. And then maybe there are many of us here today. I wish I could have expressed it better. I wish I had more strength. I wish I had more air in my lungs. Turn me up on that a little bit. Maybe it's I just can't hear myself. I don't know. But listen, I wish the church would come and say, we want to get a hold of this. We want to get a hold of this. I want revelation of the cross. I want revelation. I want to believe the report of what he did. I wish you'd come. I wish these altars would fill up. I wish nobody would stay in their pew. That's what I wish. I wish the whole church would come and say, we're going to commit ourselves. We're going to get this revelation. We're going to get this understanding. Listen, hold on, music. Listen, if we can get back to the cross and we can begin to receive revelation, and I encourage everyone in this building today, when you go home today and throughout the week, study the cross, study the scriptures. Don't wait for pastor. Begin to get into the cross. Get into what God did. Open up commentaries and open up the Word of God and look into the cross. Look at what it meant. Look at what he did. And let God begin to give you revelation. And then when we preach it, your faith will already be stirred up. But we need to get back in the cross so that the next time we step out, we're stepping out from the cross. And when we walk with the power of the cross, the benefits of the cross, and everything that comes with it. We'll never be the same. No matter how long you live for God, it'll change you. No matter how long you walk with God, I'm telling you, if you'll get a hold of this, it'll change you. It'll change how you pray for yourself. It'll change how you pray for others. When you pray for them through the cross, through the blood of Calvary, it'll change how you treat others. When you treat them through the cross and through the blood of Calvary, it'll change everything about us. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to start telling the Lord, I will believe the report. I will believe. Will you tell God that? Come on. Will you tell him that? I will believe. I'm going to get revelation of Calvary. I'm going to get a better understanding. When I pray, I'm going to pray through Calvary. When I pray for others, I'm going to pray for them through Calvary. Be healed by the blood. Be healed by the work of the cross. Come on, church. Let's begin to pray. Let's let God bring revelation. Let God bring revelation. I can't do this, but God can. I can't explain it enough. I can't detail it enough, but God can. Will you cry out to him right now? If you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, just tell God you believe the report of Calvary. If
you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, just tell God you believe the report of Calvary. A power will come over you. A glory will come over you. And the work of Calvary will fall on you. Let's pray, church, just for a moment. Come on, let's pray. Let's talk to God. There's something powerful in this place. There's something mighty in this place. There's something wonderful in the house. There's something awesome in the house. If we can believe it, it will be revealed. If we can believe it, it will be revealed. Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah. the blood. We praise you for the blood. Oh, nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. We praise you for the blood. We praise you for the blood.
We praise you for the blood.
For the price, you find somebody to pray with.
Nothing but
pray with
blood.
Them
but the
through
blood.
Calvary.
Nothing
pray
but
with
the
them
blood.
Through the blood.
Jesus.
Oh, we praise you for the blood. We praise you for the blood. For the price you paid for us.
Praise you for the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but the blood.
King Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time, we praise you for the blood.
We praise you for the blood.
We praise you for the blood. Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your
blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but the
King
blood.
Jesus.
Jesus.
What can wash? Thank you.
blood is enough to break every chain. Your blood is enough to break every chain. And your blood is enough to break every chain. 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 Your blood is enough to break every chain.
Sing, your blood is enough to break. Your blood
is enough to break every chain. Your blood is enough to break every chain. Your blood is enough to break every chain.
One more time. Sing, your blood is enough to break. Your blood
is enough to break every chain. Your blood is enough to break every chain. Your blood is enough every chain.
What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again?
Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us pure as snow?
But the blood,
nothing but the blood,
nothing but the blood.
For the blood
and wash away our sin. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
House. Brother Glenn came. He had been sick and afflicted, and God has healed him. God has raised him up. Hallelujah. He is learning that he can have access to the blessings and the benefits of God. And he's also been blessed with a brand new job. Hallelujah. A trade that he has known for many, many years. Somebody shout, yes, my God is good, and he loves to bless his children. Also, before we dismiss, God bless you, Brother David Cooper, and all your family, Brother Eli Hernandez. Thank you so much for being with us today. Church, let's stay focused on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. We praise you for the blood. We're grateful for the blood. Nothing but the blood. We thank you for the blood.
Nothing but your blood. our God.